It's time for Success Profiles Radio with your host, Brian K. Wright. Have you ever wondered if there's more to life than you're currently living? Then Success Profiles Radio is the program for you. Every week, we'll explore different aspects of success and how to apply them to your life. Guests will come from many different backgrounds, including expertise in leadership, business, relationships, careers, networking, health, overcoming adversity, and much more. Every show is a dose of inspiration. This is Success Profiles Radio. And now, here's your host, Brian K. Wright.
Welcome to Success Profiles Radio. I'm your host, Brian K. Wright, and it's an absolute pleasure to be with you here today. I'm honored that you chose to spend part of your day with me here, and this is going to be a fantastic and amazing show. I'll be introducing my guest shortly, and I promise we're going to have a lot of fun today. It'll be terrific. I do want to take a minute or two to share some things I've been learning and thinking about lately, and I usually do this every single week. A few years ago, I got to receive a ton of love on one particular birthday that was very meaningful to me. The outpouring of messages on Facebook, LinkedIn, and text messages was really humbling. But my favorite moment that year came when I received a birthday card from my parents. Usually we exchange funny cards, but that year they sent me one of those I believe in you types of cards. It happened at the perfect time, and I was so appreciative. As a result, I want to encourage everyone to express that sentiment to someone you value in your life, whether it's your kids, your parents, your spouse, your significant other, or anyone else you value very greatly. Many people don't express things such as, I love you, I believe in you, I'm proud of you, because they just think the other person knows. And I'm here to tell you, no, they don't always know. In fact, it might surprise you to learn that someone you care deeply about doesn't know the extent of love and appreciation you have toward them simply because you never got around to saying it. So here's the challenge for today. Tell them today. You'll make a huge difference in someone's life if you simply share a simple affirmation, I love you, I believe in you, or I'm proud of you. You will be so glad you did, and they'll be very happy about it too, because there will be a day where you will no longer have that opportunity. So please don't waste that chance. Do that today. And if you have not downloaded and subscribed to Success Profiles Radio on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, please do that. Leave a 5-star review if you think it's worthy. And I would really love and appreciate that if you would do that for us. Once again, download and subscribe to Success Profiles Radio. My guest this week is Rosie Pova. Let me tell you about her. She is a multi-published and award-winning children's book author, poet, writing coach, and speaker. Her picture book, Sunday Rain, was featured in the New York Times and recommended by Parents Magazine. Another book, The School of Failure, A Story About Success, is a Reader's Favorite Awards Silver Medal winner and is now available in both China and the United States. Her latest picture book, Sally's Musical Tale, will be released in the spring of 2025. She loves doing school visits to encourage kids to read, write, create, and inspire them to follow their big dreams. In her role as a writing coach, she has helped many aspiring picture book authors advance their careers and reach their publishing goals through her popular mentorship programs and signature picture book mastery course. She's originally from Bulgaria. She now lives in Texas with her family, and you can learn about her at rosiejpova.com. We have so much to unwrap and unravel today. So, Rosie, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Brian. I'm doing well. I'm super excited to be here.
I'm glad you're here too. So the question I usually open with is, did you envision early on that you'd be where you are today?
No, not at all. I've always been a dreamer and had big ambitions, but I didn't know what I would specifically do and how I would be in the world. So yes.
Mm-hmm. What did you think you'd be doing? Did you have any inkling at all?
Well, I was born in Bulgaria, and mm-hmm. we were very limited on opportunities there, mm-hmm. so to speak. Most of the my life there was during the communist regime. So, and I did have aspirations, but at the time, it was difficult to even imagine traveling outside of Bulgaria because we weren't allowed to. Mm. And so, you know, I did have those dreams. I just wasn't sure where life would take me and how, where I'll end up being. I knew there was something better out there. I knew something, you know, there were bigger opportunities and better things for me to accomplish. I just mm-hmm. wasn't sure how. At one point, I remember I wanted to be I wanted to travel, right? So just travel the world. And I thought I would work for maybe an airline company and do it that way through my job. I was also into foreign languages. So I was learning English and French and Russian. So I thought maybe, you know, I would be a translator and get to go outside of Bulgaria. But all of these different plans, I wasn't sure where that would take me.
For sure. So let's discuss your career path before you became a children's book author and writing coach. Did the path to your career lead you to think that you could end up here?
Yes and no, because I was always into writing. I loved writing from a very early age. That was sort of my escape, reading and writing and music. So like I said, I was a dreamer. I was very crafty. But yeah, I was always write to different poems and even lyrics to songs. And every time I was going through something, writing was part of my process. Mm-hmm. And so I knew I had it in me. In school, literature was the best subject for me. I didn't care much about math or, you know, physics, but I loved writing and I was always excited to do that. So I've been a writer. I thought I would be a journalist too at some point because it was related to writing again, but not specifically a children's book author, no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Do you think you might have done anything different in your career path if you had the opportunity to?
I haven't thought about that, but I was in college when I actually moved to North America, and I didn't really have much time to think about it because I was starting my adult life already, getting married and starting a family and just starting new life in a new place, a new country where I didn't really know anyone and I didn't have any connections. So I didn't have to get any job that I could find, right? Mm-hmm. Just to support my family. And that was at the time I was not thinking about writing or anything like that.
Right. So when did you realize you wanted to work for yourself, be your own boss, and not work for other people?
Oh, I've always had that. I get bored really, really easily, and I'm creative and I am multitasking. It's really hard for me to focus and be employable. I've tried many different jobs and I thought, oh, if I only had maybe an office job, I would be very happy. And then I did get an office job and same thing happened. I get bored and I want to do my own thing. And I'm always very creative and starting different projects. So that was really hard. And I thought at one point I realized I'm really not employable. Mm-hmm. I've always wondered how my mom worked at the same place in the same position for 50 years now. Mm-hmm. And I could not imagine that for myself. So I always wanted to do the things that I wanted to do and not someone else tell me what I needed to do.
Right. I mean, some people are just fine with structure and being told, and there's nothing wrong with it. God bless everyone. I mean, I used to have corporate jobs too. I just realized that I couldn't abide by other people's rules, especially when the rules made no sense. So that's why I decided to go out on my own eventually and stop looking for other people. So I appreciate what you just said. I do want to ask, though, what do you think is the most expensive mistake you've ever made? It can be financial. It doesn't have to be. Maybe it's something that you held on to for way too long or something that you maybe should have done sooner.
Oh, yes. Where do I start? It's a whole list, probably. But I would say not investing in myself sooner, not playing bigger sooner, and seeking support and help and mentorships and coaches, and really investing in my own growth. That cost me a lot to make all the mistakes and then learn the hard way.
You know what? That's an answer that I would probably give myself. I think I sometimes wish I would have started something sooner, or maybe had given myself permission sooner, because who knows where my life might be different. But the way I see it is, I am in where my position right now in life because of everything I've gone through and the choices I've made, and I wouldn't trade any of it. So, no, I love your answer a lot. I want to ask, because writing and communication is a skill set that both of us have. I also help people write their books, but I don't live in the children's book world. That's why you're here. So I do want to ask, what do you think is the highest value skill anyone can develop?
Communication.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that's everywhere. And I was just, I just recently today finished a course by Lisa Nichols. And on communication, speak and inspire. And that's exactly, just reinforce that idea that communication is everywhere, and it could cause you a lot of wins, and it can cause you a lot of pain and suffering, just the lack of communication, right? In your personal life, in your business life, it just every day, everywhere.
Yeah, for sure. What do you think it takes to be successful in business? We've got under 2 minutes to our first break.
What it takes to be successful? Having courage, and seeking support, and always learning, just investing in yourself to learn and grow and never stop, and don't get discouraged by setbacks. Learn how to overcome those quickly.
Yeah, for sure. So is there something in your routine where you learn regularly, like listening to Audible or having certain topics that you want to learn more about on a regular basis?
Oh, I'm always trying to learn something new, especially from coaches and people who are ahead of me and have succeeded in business. So, podcasts and reading self-help books and taking courses all the time.
Yeah. So having coaches is a very important part of your regimen too, as it is with me.
Correct. Yes. Yes. Fantastic. And I know we had Jack Canfield here too. So he's one of my, inspirational leaders.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, we will be coming right back after the break. We're talking with Rosie Pova, and we're going to talk about writing children's books. Sometimes I get asked by potential clients, do you help people write children's books? Not really. And they would ask me, do you know anybody? And I would say, not really. But today that answer is no longer right. I do know someone, and we're going to explore helping you write a children's book and what that takes and what goes into it. And we'll talk about the publishing, and we'll talk about coaching and everything that goes into it. And we will be right back. This is Success Profiles Radio. Please stay with us. Don't go away. We'll be back on the other side.
The mission is to motivate and inspire others to discover their unique talents and follow their dreams in life. This is Success Profiles Radio.
It's words you never heard. Have you ever butt-dialed someone accidentally? According to a report, for every 100 calls made to 911 this year, about 40 were dialed unintentionally. Recently, a mother in Canada called police after receiving a nightmarish cell phone call from her daughter, filled with blood-chilling screams and a man shouting murderous threats. Police discovered that the girl was at a movie theater in Victoria. Anticipating the worst, the cops were preparing to descend on the cinema when a dispatcher tried calling the girl's cell phone one last time. The girl answered her phone and explained she was not being attacked by a murderer, but was watching the horror film Cabin in the Woods. What do you call the activity of being impolite in a social situation by looking at your phone instead of paying attention to the person you are with? Fubbing. It's words you never heard. I'm Carolyn Davidson, and you can have fun challenging your words you never heard vocabulary with my free app, Too Funny for Words.
Have you ever thought about writing a book? Surveys show that 81% of people wish they could, but many never do. If you're one of those people, I can tell you why. You don't think you have time, you may not know how, or you might not believe you are a good enough writer. When you're working with an experienced coach, these reasons go away because I will help you every step of the way. If you want to know more about how to write a nonfiction book, whether it's business, self-help, or how-to, reach out to me at www.briankwright.com for more information. Once again, that's briankwright.com.
Welcome back to Success Profiles Radio. So many people live their lives wanting more than they currently have. And this show will clearly demonstrate the principles, if I can do it, you can do it. So let's get back to the show. This is Success Profiles Radio. And here again is your host, Brian K. Wright.
And we are back. This is Success Profiles Radio. My very special guest this week is Rosie Pova, and we will be talking about writing children's books. If you've not picked up my latest book, which is not a children's book, it's called The Greatest Lessons I Learned from My Coach. And if you've ever had a coach, you know why it's so important to have one. And if you've never had a coach, you should definitely get the book to learn reasons why you should and how it can accelerate your learning curve. And it's on Amazon. Once again, that book is called The Greatest Lessons I Learned from My Coach, available now. So, Rosie, how did you decide to become a children's author? That is a very specific niche within the author world. How did you settle on writing kids' books?
I think I'm a child at heart. That's a start. But when I had my first child of my own and I started reading picture books to her, it really reignited that love of writing and reading in me. And especially for children, I found it fascinating. Picture books are little geniuses because mm-hmm. they work on a great level with both the pictures and the text. And they can convey so much information in just a little space. And they just build character from an early age. So I thought I wanted to try and write my own picture books. And once I started, like, I couldn't stop. I kept on writing, and then I had no clue what to do with that. Mm-hmm. I wasn't even sure if it was any good, mm-hmm. but I started researching, and that led me on the path to just being obsessed on becoming a published author.
Yeah, for sure. Sometimes it's really cute to watch little kids with their books, because if they're not old enough to read yet, their version of reading is trying to tell you what's going on in the picture.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes.
For sure. So tell us about your first picture book. How did you settle on the idea for that? Tell us about that whole process.
Yeah, so I started coming up with different ideas and started writing in rhyme. I thought that was the thing. That's how it came to me. And just doing as much research as I could on how to create your story and how to find a publisher. And my first stories were not good. Mm-hmm. But I was so impatient. And I kept on writing, and I really wanted to see my writing in a book form. Mm-hmm. So I kind of jumped the gun and self-published a few stories. And then I realized, well, self-publishing is not really for me, mm-hmm. because you have to wear, it's a completely different route from traditional publishing. You have to wear many hats. And once the book is out, first of all, it's not... probably not ready if you're really rushing, mm-hmm. and should be out there. But even if it is, then it's just sitting there and no one will discover it and buy it necessarily if you're mm-hmm. not a good marketer.
Yeah.
And yeah, so you still have to compete with all the other books that are out there. Mm-hmm. And I have this illusion, once it's there, all people will just buy it, right? And yeah. That's not how it works.
Right. Well, even if you work with a publisher, sometimes the publisher will say, well, marketing the book is your job anyway.
That is true. These days, marketing is not the same, and publishers will provide some support and promotions, but for a very limited time, and they do expect the author to be actively involved and visible mm-hmm. and collaborating. But they do have the distribution channels, and yes. the book is already vetted, and it's professionally illustrated, and it's not the same thing as if you try to illustrate it yourself, or you just mm-hmm. hired someone, but you couldn't invest that much money in a really professional illustrator. So mm-hmm. It does make a difference.
Absolutely. So what did you love about this process the first time you went through it? What did you discover that you liked about it?
I discovered all the mistakes that I should be making, mm-hmm. and how to approach things differently. I discovered that my craft was not ready. I thought I knew how to write, but this was my fourth language. English was my fourth language, not my first language, not my native language. Mm-hmm. I didn't get to go to school here, and I didn't even know the differences in the craft. Writing for the European market is very different than writing for the North American market. And the other thing was, you know, rhyming, and I wasn't ready. It wasn't perfect, and I thought, oh, it's good enough, but it's not. And then the pictures are very important. How I try to illustrate it myself. Huge mistake. And then you can't possibly compete with all the professional books out there. So being impatient, this business requires a lot of patience. It requires a lot of support. It takes a village to create and publish a book. And I was a loner. I was even afraid to admit that I was writing and I was trying to be published, and I try to do it alone. And I thought, how hard can it be? I'll just figure it out on my own, right? I've been a writer all my life, and I've read many books as a kid, so why not write my own? Yeah. But no, that was not
and you know, a good idea. It's interesting that you initially brought up how you discovered how different children's book writing is. I mean, some people that I talk to think, well, writing is writing. Well, no, it's not. I write for the business self-development world, and I don't write technically. I don't write children's books. Those are all very, very different styles of writing. It's a lot like saying all doctors are the same. Well, they're not. A brain surgeon does not do the same thing as a heart doctor. It's different, and you have to learn. So what did you find? How did you have to adjust your writing style that you were used to start writing for children? Did you find that you had to dumb it down a little because your audience is, you know, really young kids, anywhere between like 3 and 8, 9, 10, right?
Right. That's the audience, but it's just the opposite. We're not supposed to be preachy. We're not supposed to be teaching lessons or telling kids how to feel or what to think. It's just the opposite. So a lot of people think, oh, that's easy because, you know, you have to dumb it down because kids are young. They don't understand. Mm-hmm. That's not correct. There's a craft to it. And that a lot of first time author, like, writers, just beginners, make that mistake. They want to teach, they want to preach, and they're very telly, and the story is very dry, and it's not engaging. And also, the business has changed a lot since since we grew up and read those books. That today in that market will no longer be published. Really, the craft is very different. They were longer. There were they always had some kind of lesson in them. Mm-hmm. And today's books are not like that. So we need to adapt that. And I first realized that just reading other people's books, recently published books, beyond the classics, because the classics, it's one thing, that's what we remember. But the modern picture book looks very differently. So I realized my craft was not there. I started reading a lot and started taking classes and courses and conferences, webinars, just to learn how to develop my craft. And I really changed my perspective because I realized, well, it's up to me if I need to improve on my craft. Mm-hmm. That's on me. No one's responsibility but mine.
Right.
And then look into the business, because I was getting all those rejections. Once I focused on traditional publishing, where, you know, they buy your work and pay you advances and royalties and hire the right illustrators, then it's very selective. And it's really tough to break through. And that was on the craft part. So when I was lacking, that was my responsibility to.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where do you find your ideas for your books?
Well, I find them everywhere. When I read other people's books, when I hear kids talking, or I would watch something, I could see a picture, I could just experience something, and then I deal with pop, or even from my childhood memories. They could come from anywhere. There's no one specific place. The idea is one thing, and then how you develop it is really important, because just the concept is not enough. Again, we go back to that craft of the writing.
Yeah. So I would imagine that some topics are pretty universally accepted for children's books, things that relate to love and family and respect and cooperation and getting along. Those are very traditional values that a lot of the old school children's books have. Is that still true, or do you find that people get a little bit edgier with topics in children's books than they used to?
I honestly can't think of a topic that is not covered in a picture book, which is which is great. And then, all of these that you mentioned are still topics that are going to be published. There's mm-hmm. nothing new that we can invent, and stories on friendships and first day of school and moving to a new place. All of these will be, or first, you know, having a new sibling. They were like evergreens, but doesn't mean that we can still stick with just the classics or the ones that are already published. Those demand for new books. They just have to be different and unique on their own.
Yeah, I would imagine things like helping a child deal with the loss of a loved one, like a parent or a grandparent or a sibling. I would imagine those types of topics work very well for children's books if it's done tastefully, right?
Exactly, yes. And there are many books on that topic, and they continue to be published and will continue to be published. So like I said, I can't think of a topic that was not covered in Picture Box. So that's why I call them little geniuses, because they just pretty much cover everything under the sun, and really in an age-appropriate way.
Sure. We've got under 2 minutes to our break. You talked a little bit about using illustrators earlier. How do you find illustrators, and what exactly do you look for in an illustrator?
Well, the thing is, now that I'm traditionally published, I don't have to find illustrators, because publishers will take care of that. They select the illustrators, they match it to the story, they hire them, they work with them. We don't even communicate with the illustrator. That's the thing many people don't know, but the author and illustrator don't talk during the book publishing process.
Oh, wow. So in your experience, have you ever received illustrations that you thought maybe weren't right, or you asked for a revision, or is the creative illustrator usually pretty spot on with what you're looking for?
Well, there's always revisions. There's always revisions, and it's a collaboration, even though it goes through the publisher. I've been surprised, I can say that, and have asked for changes. And usually they're very receptive, and we work together as a team.
Yeah, I love that too. We're coming up against our next break. I can't believe how quickly this is going. We're talking with Rosie Pove, and we're talking about publishing children's books. And when we come back, I will ask her about the steps that are required to put a picture book together. And we've discussed some of those, but we'll talk about that in more detail. And we'll talk about fleshing out the main character in a story, what goes into that. We'll come right back.
Is to motivate and inspire others to discover their unique talents and follow their dreams in life. This is Success Profiles Radio.
Have you ever thought about writing a book? Surveys show that 81% of people wish they could, but many never do. If you're one of those people, I can tell you why. You don't think you have time, you may not know how, or you might not believe you are a good enough writer. When you're working with an experienced coach, these reasons go away, because I will help you every step of the way. If you want to know more about how to write a nonfiction book, whether it's business, self-help, or how-to, reach out to me at www.briankwright.com for more information. Once again, that's briankwright.com.
Welcome back to Success Profiles Radio. So many people live their lives wanting more than they currently have. And this show will clearly demonstrate the principles, if I can do it, you can do it. So let's get back to the show. This is Success Profiles Radio. And here again is your host, Brian K. Wright.
And we are back. This is Success Profiles Radio. My very special guest this week is Rosie Pova, and we are talking about writing and publishing children's books, which is a very different niche than I'm used to working in, which is why it's fun to explore this. And if you have not subscribed to Ultimate Achievers Magazine, you can go to ultimateachieversmagazine.com. The most recent issue came out a couple weeks ago, and I can't wait for you to read it. And you get a $1 trial for 7 days, and you can pick the subscription option that you like. So once again, that's ultimateachieversmagazine.com. Mostly content driven, very, very, very few ads. And so tons of value in there for you. So, Rosie, let's talk about writing a picture book. You have five steps or five things to think about when you're doing a children's picture book. So take us through that, please.
Yes, absolutely. So you have to pick the right concept and have a premise, a strong premise for your picture book, a premise that is marketable. So you need to have a hook, and that needs to be kid relatable. And ask yourself this question: why would kids care? There's always the emotional arc of the character in what kind of transformation they will go through. And so at the end of the book, what's the takeaway? So think about that, your concept, your premise. And then we have the character. Character is really important because that's what kids will relate to and remember. So character needs to be, again, memorable, interesting, kid relatable. And the topic, if we're covering divorce, let's say, we're not going to talk from the point of view of a parent, but what the child is experiencing. So it's always kid-centered, your character. And then again, you have to, in a picture book, just think about how you would describe it in one sentence. And if you can't describe your story in one sentence, that could be an indication that it's not very focused. And sometimes we want to include so many things and that story that we are not, we're just diluting the plot, and readers can get distracted because. Think of an attention span of a little kid, and it has to be clear. Even though the adult will be reading the book, it still needs to be engaging. Then think about the voice of the story and the character. Not just the vocabulary, but are you writing a funny story? Are you writing an issue story or something else? What the tone and the voice need to be consistent so that you're not mixing it all. Takeaway is important, but not being preachy. A lot of, like I mentioned before, a lot of people think that they have to put a lesson there. There must be something that we teach the child. Sometimes the book will be entertaining, thought-provoking, without necessarily just hitting them on the head with that lesson, right? And just trust the reader to get the idea and get their own takeaway and leave room for interpretation.
Wow.
So a lot of things to consider. And then the other thing I want to mention is leave room for the illustrations. We don't want to say everything that we want to say if it's going to be in the illustration. We can't use descriptions because we have the pictures. That's what they're for. And we can't mirror the pictures. So the text needs to be on its own. And then the pictures need to complement the text so that both work together and pretty much do 50-50 of the work. So a lot of people just don't consider the illustration, especially if they're the author and not the illustrator. They want to describe every single detail or give us all the play-by-play action. And that's not the way how we write picture books.
Wow. A lot of stuff I didn't even think about. So I appreciate that for sure. So you talked about having a strong kid relatable character. How do you decide on a main character? Is it sometimes based on someone you already know, or do you construct a hero type of character that you aspire to be like?
Oh, either way, there's no wrong and right. The character can be someone you know, or someone that something that inspire you to create that character. It could be a human, it could be an animal. The important thing is, why are they interesting to the reader? Why would they care? Is it kid relatable? Is the problem kid relatable? So every time we have the conflict and the problem, a child would need to care and relate to that. And then what is the character? They have to be likable too, because in order for us to the reader to root for that character, they need to like the character, because if they don't, they wouldn't care, and it will create a distance. And then we have to be in the character's point of view, really experiencing what they're experiencing. That's how we get close to them. That's how we are engaged in the story, and we follow it until the end. And we want more of that character. So that's the important thing, not necessarily who the character is or why, how you select it.
Yeah. Now, if the character that you're writing is a little bit of a brat, do you want to have a transformative moment for that character where they realize they screwed up?
Yes, definitely. They go through that journey because they are experiencing some kind of transformation. So they're not the same person or the same character at the end of the story. They still got something because of their experience, because of that obstacle that they had to overcome. Mm-hmm. So they transformed.
Yeah. How do you decide what the problem is that your character goes through? I imagine the write what you know piece is a big part of that. Or do you reach into culture and say, this is what I see going on in the world, and that's what I want to write about?
Again, both can work as long as it is, yes, and it is relatable. You can make it timely. And the conflict needs to be just kids need to care about that.
Right.
So we're not inserting our adult point of view, adult perspective, and speaking from that point. But a little child needs to be able to engage with that.
Absolutely. So we talked about how children's books can embrace just about any theme that's out there now. Are there certain themes that you like to write about, or certain things that you maybe don't write about quite so much? Do you have a favorite go-to niche of themes that you like to write about?
I actually like to challenge myself and write in a big range of topics and emotions. But what I'm trying to get with my stories is I want them to be, for the most part, if they're fun and entertaining in some way, but also empowering. They could be thought-provoking or helping kids gain self-confidence or believe in themselves or go for bigger dreams. Anything that is of that nature, really, I really navigate towards that.
Fantastic. Let's talk about the publishing process. You've done the self-publishing thing. You've also worked with children's book publishers. So for those who want to write a book and really would like to work with a publisher and try not to do all of it by themselves, how do you find a great publisher?
Yes, that's $1 million question.
Yeah.
Well, I would say I get asked a lot, well, how do I get published? And my answer to that is it's really not the right question, because before that, we need to ask the question, well, do I have something worth publishing? Do we have something publishable? Because if we don't, even if we spend all the time researching publishers and target the best ones out there, it's not going to happen, because we'll just get rejections or not hear back at all and waste years wondering why they're not responding. Yeah. But that's because the craft was not there. The first step is always, always improving your craft and making sure you are writing a story that is publishable and sellable to the mass market, because that would need to appeal to the broad audience. Not just your kids or your nephews and your neighbors and your family. So for that reason, and it is a business, the publisher will have to invest in you and believe that they can sell hundreds of thousands of copies, if not millions. That would be great, right? So the first thing is learn the craft and write those stories that are publishable, that are attractive to the publisher. And then the next step is usually finding a literary agent, because that is the person who's going to be your into the industry, sending work to the big five publishers, because authors are not able to send to them directly. So you can submit to smaller and medium sized houses, but when it comes to the big ones, it comes to an agent. So only agents can submit to them.
So I was going to ask, how do you get the feedback to know if you have something worth being published? Is the literary agent the person that's probably going to tell you that? Or should you invest in a coach like yourself that might have a better idea before you go through all of that?
Yeah, no, that's not the agent's job. Once you have an agent and you are actually working with them, they could provide some editorial feedback and collaboration and brainstorming and revision advice. But by the time you get to an agent, you would already have to have decent craft, like actually really good craft and knowledge on the business and the writing in order to attract an agent in the first place. And with picture books in particular, you would have to have at least four or five polished stories that are ready to be seen by a literary agent. And the way you get to that point is finding critique groups, finding mentors and coaches, and working on your craft, really committing to... Yeah, committing to that.
Absolutely. So how do we know if a children's book will sell well? There's probably not a checklist, right? How do we know?
Well, that's the writer's job is to sell their manuscript, like to find that agent who believes in them and would help them open the doors and opportunities, and then finding them a publishing deal. And then that's the job of the publisher. So they will be in charge of distribution and selling. Of course, the author is going to collaborate, but it's their job. They have marketing departments, they have salespeople, teams who research the market and know which books to sell where and how. But yeah, you have to be prepared to take a part in that too.
Absolutely. And this might spill into the last segment, but talking about looking for a literary agent, I mean, of course, they're vetting you and your work because they have to realize, can I sell this and make some money? But you have to vet them too, right?
Yes, it's exactly. It's a partnership. And sometimes you might get into a bad relationship with an agent where they're not able to sell your work or they're not even shopping your work. And then you're stuck with that for quite a while. So you could be wasting a lot of time during that if you're not careful selecting the right partner for you and for your career.
Absolutely. We're going to come back after the break. I can't believe how quickly this is going. Our final segment is coming right up. And when we come back, I will ask Rosie what you should be asking a literary agent that you're thinking about working with, because you want to make sure the fit is really, really good. And one of her books was featured in the New York Times and was recommended by Parents Magazine. We'll talk about that experience. And we'll also talk about writing query letters, because you have to get your foot in the door somehow. And there is a process by which you do this. And we'll talk about marketing your book. And we'll talk about so much more when we come back. Down the stretch we come when we return. This is Success Profiles Radio. Please stay with us.
Is to motivate and inspire others to discover their unique talents and follow their dreams in life. This is Success Profiles Radio.
If you are in business, what is the number one thing that stops revenue growth? Not having enough leads. Data is the new gold rush. With PhoneSites, that is never an issue. You can generate as many leads as you want without paying a lead broker. With PhoneSites, you can build a website or sales funnel from your mobile device in 5 minutes or less without any technical skills or without downloading an app. It's easy and you have nothing to lose. Try it for free for 14 days at PhoneSites.com/Brian. Once again, that's PhoneSites.com/Brian.
Think employers put a lot of time into reading your resume? According to a new survey from Career Builder, most employers spend only about 2 minutes reviewing resumes. Almost 60% of employers said that the most common resume gaffes were exaggerated job responsibilities, fictional dates of employment, and unreal job titles. Some of the employer surveyed's favorite miscabobbles on resumes include one applicant who claimed to be the former CEO of the company he was applying for. Another applicant claimed to be fluent in two languages, one of which was Pig Latin. And my personal favorite was a creative job seeker who claimed on his resume that he worked at a jail when he actually was serving time there. It's marching down. I'm Carolyn Davidson, and you can have fun challenging your words you never heard vocabulary with my new app, Too Funny for Words.
Welcome back to Success Profiles Radio. So many people live their lives wanting more than they currently have. And this show will clearly demonstrate the principles, if I can do it, you can do it. So let's get back to the show. This is Success Profiles Radio. And here again is your host, Brian K. Wright.
We're back. This is Success Profiles Radio. My very special guest this week is Rosie Pova. And if you have not downloaded and subscribed to Success Profiles Radio on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, please do that. Leave a review. I would greatly appreciate that. We're just growing more and more all the time. So, Rosie, we talked a little bit about looking for a literary agent. They're vetting you, but you have to vet them. So I want to ask, what kinds of questions should you be asking a literary agent before deciding if you want to work with them or not?
And that is a great question, Brian. And that's what part of what I teach my clients do when I work with them on mastering picture book writing and navigating the business, the publishing business, because then at that point, if they have interest from an agent or they have, let's say, a call or an offer coming up, they have to also decide whether that agent's good for them or not. And they could I would rather them say no to an offering agent if they're not the right fit than just jumping and signing with them and then being stuck or regretting that decision. So it's really important to put on your business hat and be prepared for that conversation. And you're right. As much as they're interviewing you, you're doing the same. Mm-hmm. So I would mention a few very important questions, but for a full list of questions, I do have a downloadable ebook and 17 questions to ask an agent on the calls, or anyone who's interested, they can visit my website or reach out to me and I'll be happy to provide that for them. But so one of the questions is, what did you like about my work and why do you want to represent me? You need to be sure that the agent is really passionate and committed, and the way they answer that question, you will feel the emotion and you will know if they even read all of your manuscripts that you sent them. Mm-hmm. And it would show why they're excited to represent you and work with you. So another question is, so what kind of revisions do you think my work needs? And are you an editorial agent? Because if they say, oh, no revisions, they're ready to go, that's a little bit of a, you have to think about that. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're not editorial and they can't provide any feedback on improvement, because stories are rarely really super polished to where they go out immediately. Usually there's some kind of work that needs to be done. So that's not an indication how much they're willing to work with you to make them better before sending them out to editors. And definitely address communication style, how they communicate, how often, only if there's news. If there's no news, do you have meetings? What kind of, if you want to reach out to them, what kind of ways they provide for them to be accessible to you? That is really important, because there would be some agents where they could ghost you for weeks and you don't have any idea why that is and be kept in the dark. Right. Also ask about submission policies and submission plans and style. Will they submit one work for you, multiple works, what period of time, when they'll nudge or follow up? These are all important questions to know in advance, because you need to match to their style and that needs to work for you as well. But again, for a full list of the 17 questions, people can find me at rosiejpoa.com or reach out to me.
Fantastic. And I was just going to ask you, how can people find you? So I'm glad you put in that little plug, rosiejpova.com. You can find that there. Questions to ask literary agents. Very good. So one of your books was featured in the New York Times. You have to tell us what happened.
Yes, it was. And I was so happy and grateful. And that was a big surprise, because my publisher at the time, they would, pitch your book to different publications and media, and you never know what's going to come out of it. So I remember I was sitting at my kitchen countertop and having dinner, and get a text from the illustrator of the book. And she said, did you know that our book is in the New York Times? And like, freaking out, no, what? So I was so excited, and she sent me the link, and I saw it and started dancing in my kitchen. Mm-hmm. I was so happy and surprised. And even the publisher didn't know, because they were in the UK, and it was already in the middle of the night there. So the next day we sent them an email and let them know. But yeah, everyone was so excited. So I still have it framed on my, I'm looking at it right now. I have the page, the New York Times framed, and I'm looking at it.
So you just never know who sees you or where they find you. That's why it's important to just keep shooting your shot, right?
Yes, yes. And again, the publisher will do a lot for you if you're traditionally published, but it doesn't hurt for you to also be your own advocate and just be proactive and do your own marketing in addition to what they offer.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So for those that are interested in working with publishers and agents, the first step is usually a query letter, right?
Correct. Yes.
How do you do that?
Well, that's another skill set of writing, because, again, now you're putting on your business hat and you're writing this query letter that is supposed to grab their attention in less than a page. It has a very specific structure, and they can tell, I can tell when I work with my clients and see a query letter in a matter of seconds, whether that is professionally prepared or they're just winging it and they have no clue what they're doing with that. So it really shows. That's the first impression. Some agents would just read the query letter, glance at it, and if it's not there, they're just not going to read the manuscript and move on. So that will be a form rejection automatically. Mm-hmm. So it's really important to get that right. You have to have the right introduction. You have to write the pitch in the way that is grabbing their attention. And it's conveying the story for what it is. A lot of the times you need to use comp titles and show your understanding of the market, how your book would fit with all the other books that might be published that are similar. And then you have your credentials and your bio at the end. So, yeah, there's a way to write that letter professionally.
That's fantastic. So let's talk about marketing a little bit. I found a YouTube video where somebody was reading one of your picture books, and it was done as a little movie. So tell us about that, because that's really creative.
It is. And I so enjoy those. And again, those are surprises, because the publishers would reach out to different influencers and pitch the book. And if it's a match, they will take it on and they will make it into this cute, amazing, creative movie, read aloud movie. And last I looked, one of the books had like 250,000 views, and the other one had 150,000 views. So that is amazing. It really helps with awareness and visibility of your book.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. You also, we don't have a lot of time left, but you also like to do school visits where you talk to children and inspire them to create and write.
Yes, I love school visits. I meet my readers and I talk to them to inspire them just to write and read more and communicate and go after their big dreams. And I share my own personal story as an immigrant and, you know, all the obstacles that I had to overcome, but really just believing in themselves and going after those dreams. So yeah, those are a lot of fun. Any teachers, librarians out there who are planning any author visits, please reach out to me. I'd love to connect and visit your school.
Fantastic. Let's talk a little bit about coaching. You help authors who want to write children's books get started from A to Z, the whole thing, right?
Yes, that's right. I know how confusing it was for me at the beginning and frustrating and disheartening at times. So I don't, and it took me many, many years to get to the big milestones and being published and finding an agent. And I've worked with 6 different agents throughout my career. I've been in business for many years. I actually sold all 6 of my books directly to publishers, ironically. So I have experience from all sides of the table. And I mentioned self-publishing and all the mistakes that I made and learned from. So I don't want authors to struggle or have to make those mistakes in order to learn. And I created a course and I created mentorships just to guide them and provide all the resources, comprehensive programs, really, because I don't want to learn just one thing and then try to figure out the rest on my own and collect the whole puzzle. If it's 98% there, it's not 100%. It might, you know, trip you up and waste years to figure it out. So that's what I do. I help authors, and now writers become published authors. And develop their craft and just navigate the business. And now I'm also turning my focus onto helping authors with their marketing once they're published. Because again, that's a hard thing for them to do. And they are also confused. And I help in with that as well.
That is absolutely fantastic. I love that. You also do some speaking. So what are some of the topics that you talk about when people hire you to speak for them?
Depending on the audience, but I do a lot of workshops, again, for writers, for children, whether that's libraries or conferences. And I also talk about starting your own business, or moms who have those dreams, but they're afraid to go after those dreams, or how they model when, you know, for their kids, what it looks like to be ambitious and to do the things that you want to do. So yeah, all kinds of different topics like that.
Yeah, that's fantastic. What is the most influential book that you think you've ever read?
It's hard to pick. I read a lot of those self-help books that I would mention, because you have him as a guest, you had him as a guest, Jack Canfield's The Success Principles. Ask and It Is Given. I have so many books that every single one of them has helped me in many ways.
Yeah, for sure. That is one of my favorite books also. And when Jack was on my show, we talked about the 10-year anniversary. And I have read that there will be a 20-year anniversary version of this book next year in 2025. So I'm looking forward to seeing what else is new with that. What has surprised you the most about your journey?
What surprised me the most? It's a tough question. That it would take this long to get some of the milestones. I thought it would be easier.
Fantastic. The last question, who inspires and motivates you? And then you can tell us once again how we can find you.
Who inspires me? All of my business coaches inspire me. My kids inspire me. Other authors that I admire, always an inspiration. And yeah, again, people can find me at rosiejpova.com.
Fantastic. Rosie, thank you for being here. It was awesome to have you here and talk about this topic.
Thank you for having me, Brian. My pleasure.
And thanks to all of you for listening. This has been Success Profiles Radio. Please join us every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern, where I interview another world-class achiever and learn what they did, what they overcame, and the lessons we can learn along the way. Take care, everyone. See you next week.
Thank you for being a part of Success Profiles Radio with your host, Brian K. Wright. Each week, we'll explore different aspects of success and how to apply them to your life. We'll have guests that will come from many different backgrounds, including expertise in leadership, business, relationships, careers, networking, health, overcoming adversity, and much more. For more on Brian and the show, check out his website, BrianKWright.com. If you've ever wondered if there's more to life than you're currently living, then Success Profiles Radio is the program for you. Join us again next week for more Success Profiles Radio with your host, Brian K. Wright.